Good morning. Okay, we shall come to God's words this morning. Let me start with a story. The story of Thomas Edison. He's the one who invented the light bulb. His workshop was at a basement with a team of people. It took him 24 hours, 24 straight hours to come up with the first light bulb. So when he finished the light bulb, he needs to bring this light bulb to the top floor. So who did he call? He called a young helper to do it. And a young helper had the light bulb in his hand. He walked up the stair. He tried to be as careful as possible. Guess what happened? He dropped it. And so Edison needs to get his team again in another 24 hours to come up with the second light bulb. And now, being very tired, who do you think he called to bring the light bulb up? The same young helper. Thank God for another chance. How many of you need another chance this morning? I'm not talking about second chance. Because some of us, even when we have the second chance, we simply mess it up. How many of you realize that? We simply mess it up and we use it up, you know, and I want you to know that God, my sermon, the last sermon for 2023, is God is the God of another chance. More than the second chance. More than the third, fourth, our God is a God of many chances because of His grace and mercy. The thing is that it's always good to get it right the first time. Don't you think so? If not the second time, so that you get less pain. You get less pain in your life. So God is the God of the second chance. And I want you to know that to the world, when you talk about second chance, they equate second chance with luck. I am lucky. To the world, second chance means they have thrown the die and it's my number. I win. That's to the world. But to believer, second chance depends on what? On God. Second chance depends on God. You see, the Hebrew word for chance give us a picture not of random happening. It so happened. No, the Hebrew word for chance is not random happening. The Hebrew word for chance is a picture of right happening. A chance is a one of right happening and planned happening. And how does it happen? Because it depends on God who have orchestrated it. Means God is the one. You know, he say the step of a good man is ordered by him. He's the one who ordered it, planned it, and make it happen. This is the God that we believe in. You know, Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 11 say, "For I know the plan I have for you, said the Lord. They are planned for good," say amen. "Not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." And I want you to know, when you look at the Bible is filled with recipient of another chance, because God is the one who orchestrated it. God, when you see how He orchestrated it, He gives us hope, He gives us assurance, He gives us something to hold on, that life is never over till God says so. Because God, the God that we believe, the God of another chance, is redemptive. Say with me, redemptive. Is restorative and regenerative. And I want you to know, because He's the God of another chance, you should not cancel yourself. You should not give up. You should not keep beating yourself. Some of you, you wake up this morning and you have been beating yourself. Why me? How come this has happened to me? You have to stop it. Because God is a God of another chance. I want you to know, it is not finished, it is not lost, because the Bible show us in both the Old Testament and the New Testament that the God of another chance works and he orchestrates it. Abraham lied twice. This is not my wife, this is my sister. And the wife said, go and sleep with my maid so that the promise can be fulfilled. If it was the second chance, Abraham would have blew it. But God stepped in because God is a God of another chance. Moses, at 40, he tried to help the Hebrew by killing the taskmaster. And when the news was spread about what he did, he ran away and hid in the wilderness. 40 years later, God called him and gave him another chance. How about David, the man after God's own heart? He is not only an adulterer and a murderer. If it was the second chance, he could have blown it. He even numbered Israel and sinned against God. But yet we know that God is a God and another chance that David continued to pen the psalm and build the kingdom of God. How about Jonah? He disobeyed God and he ran away. But God in his mercy pursued him, confronted him, met him, restored him, and recommissioned him and gave him another chance. How about Simon Peter? You know, when he denied Jesus, he cursed Jesus before Jesus went to the cross and was crucified. But yet God made Peter examine his love and recommissioned him in John 21. How about John Mark? He was so eager. I want to go to the mission trip. I want to hear the call of God. I want to follow what you are doing. But halfway he got cold feet. And he went home. But yet, like God, like Paul, he was given another chance. When Paul say in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11, take Mark and bring him with you, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. How about Apostle Paul? Oh, he was on a road of religious destruction. He was so deeply caught up with man's tradition, rules, and regulation. He was a religious fanatic who was all out to destroy Christian and the church. But on the road of Damascus, he met the Lord, and God gave him another chance to serve him, because the God that we serve is the God of another chance. And this morning, I want to assure you, as we come to the close of 2023, and as the door of 2024 is opening before you, the God of another chance is here. You sense his presence in the worship. You sense his presence in the testimony, because God is a God who does not cancel you, who does not say it is over, who does not say it is finished with you. God is a God that says, I will give you another chance. Because I want you to know, when you look at every one of this, that is up there from Abraham up to you, every one of them were recipient of another chance, not because they earn it, not because they work for it, not because they deserve it. They don't. Just like you and me, the only reason they were given because God is a God on another chance. He is redemptive, he is restorative, he is regenerative in his grace. So today, as the door of 2023 closed and the door of 2024 is opening, I want you to know that in your life today, nothing is wasted. The wilderness ends today. That today, you stand before God knowing that another chance will be given to you to redeem you, to restore you, to regenerate you with the hope that God is going to give you, with the opportunity God is going to give you in 2024. Today, another chance is here. A new day, a new beginning, a new start for you and for anyone and everyone who wants another chance. And it's only happening where? In God. In God. We look at the life of Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 to verse 14. This is what Paul said. I don't mean to say that I've already achieved this thing or that I have already reached perfection. But I pressed on to possess the perfection of which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brother and sister, I have not achieved it, but I focus on one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize by which God, through Jesus Christ, is calling me. The first L to the second chance is to let go of the past. Verse 13, forgetting the past. Past and regret are twin brothers. They go together and they will always be. I'm sure you sit down here this morning, wake you up this morning, before you go to sleep last night, I'm sure you can identify regrets and the past. They go hand in hand. And this is the regret and the past that holds you back from living in the present and believing in your future. Apostle Paul, we admire him, yet he's a man who had to let go of his life of regrets. So must you. Paul had to let go of his past guilt. So must you. He was a murderer. He was a persecutor. There must be a deep scar of sin and sorrow in his heart. How about you? Paul must let go of his past disappointment. So must you. He was beaten, jailed, mocked, shipwrecked, and rejected. Bad things do happen to good people. How many of you realize that? It does happen. How about you? Paul had to let go of his past offenses. Paul said, I've been lied to, I've been mistreated, I've been forsaken, I've been thrown out of my family, out of my religious group, I have been thrown out of my friends. On one occasion, Paul cried, I'm all alone. Everyone has forsaken me. No one stood with me. How about you? You see, the important thing to let go of the past, you can only come to the cross, because the cross is the only place where you find forgiveness and healing. It's at the cross that Jesus said to the Father, Father, I commit. You and I, if you want to get healing from your past hurt, from your past pain, from your past disappointment, today is the day to do it as you come to the cross of Jesus Christ and say, God, into your hand, I commit my past regret. I commit my disappointment, my failure. I commit them to you. God, I give it to you, God. Take it from me. I don't want to bear it anymore. You see, when Paul talk about forget, he's talking about being healed by the Spirit of God and by the Word of God. Being healed so that when you think about it, when you talk about it, when you hear about it, it doesn't eat you up. How many of you realize that? It doesn't eat you any up anymore. When you see what has happened in the past, when you think about it, it doesn't affect and influence you. You can only look up. Look up. Look up with joy. Look up knowing that God is redemptive. He is restorative. He is regenerative. And you know and you can believe that all things work out together for good to those who love the Lord. Yes, when I think about it, my temperature doesn't shoot up. My blood pressure doesn't shoot up. I can be cool, man. I can laugh at myself. That's what Paul means when he said, forget. So this morning, you need to cut the rope that ties you to the past. Don't let your past guilt, your past fear, your past disappointment, the past offenses, don't let it consume you. It's only an event in your life, not your life. Don't make it your life. You need simply, in faith, let it go. One of the principles of life is journey forward, understand backwards. Yes, you can only understand life by looking backwards. But don't keep on looking backward, because if you drive your car and you keep on looking back, you are going to have what? You are going to have an accident. In the same way, I come, Lord, there are things that happened to my life. I'm sure to your life that I don't understand, you don't understand. How many of you realize that? And some of us keep on digging and digging and digging. God, why? God say, get on with your life. Move forward. And as you move forward, you're able to turn back and say, oh, God was doing it all the time. He was orchestrating something in my life to bring me to the place. Joseph said to his brother, you meant it for evil, but God turned it to what? God turned it to good. But if Joseph was to be caught just in what has happened in his past, Joseph is not going to go anywhere in his life. I need you to realize, if you want to experience another chance of a glorious day, or a powerful present, or a better tomorrow, you need not to dwell on the past. You need to focus on the present and reach out to the future, because your another chance is too important for you to hold on to the past. The second L is live in the present. Verse 13, but one thing I do, Paul is saying, I'm going to give to my life to one thing of value and purpose. One thing I do, not I did. I do, not I will do, or I should do, or I will be doing. But it's that one thing I do. Means it's now, it's present, it's continuously doing. It's not about yesterday doing, or tomorrow doing, or past doing. It's about living now, doing it now. Because what you do now will shape you for the present and will prepare you for what? The future. One thing I do. What is Paul talking about? Paul is talking about focus. Focus to live your life in the present. He's talking about priority and the way to live your life. Because I want you to know, life has become too overcrowded with many good things. But the Bible says not all good things are profitable things for your soul. How many realize that? The demand of life in 2023 may cause you to live not with one thing I do, but with one thing lacking, one thing missing, like the rich young ruler, or one thing needful, or one thing necessary, like busy Martha. Are there so many things in your hand in 2023 that you are trying to juggle? It amazes me how people can get one ball, two ball, three ball, four ball juggle. I can't even do it with one ball. You have been trying to juggle your life. And when you try to do that, it causes you to lose focus, lose sight, lose energy to live in the present. Busy, 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 but achieve little. Who is that? Doing, 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 but nothing much is done. Who is that? Work, 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 but the work never finished. Who is that? Is he speaking about you? Is he speaking about me? He's speaking about every one of us here. Life has become busy. All the modern things that we have, all the modern technology that we have, we have now, you don't need to vacuum the floor. You got this robotic floor, robotic vacuum cleaner that goes everywhere. Under the table, under the bed. You know? But my wife is still busy. Give her a dishwasher, she's still busy. Give her a washing machine, still busy. Help her to wash plate, She is still busy. Life has become busy. How many realize that? But Paul said one thing. One thing I do. One thing. One thing I do. I press toward the goal of the prize of the upward calling. Paul is saying, I'm going to live my life with only one focus. I'm going to live my life with a vision for life. And a vision for life is to live in the present and prepare for the future. The reason, the purpose for life is not just to live for now, but also knowing that one day I'm going to stand before my Creator, my God, and my Lord, that I have to give him an answer for the account that I've done with my life. So Paul said, one thing I do, I have to have a vision for life. Do you have a vision for life? What is life all about? Is life simply keeping your head above water? Just managing day from day, just like a cruise ship cruising around? No. Life should be what you make it to be. Some people say, get alive. I think sometimes we need to get alive. Get alive and live your life living in the present, because another chance in God is here and now. Today is all you have. Tomorrow is not guaranteed. So refocus on the present and live in the present. How do you live? Live with the power of the resurrection, because God is giving you another chance in Him. Live life. Live life as if it's the last breath on earth. What would you do if it's the last breath on earth? What you need to do, do it tomorrow. No. What you need to do, do it what? Do it now. Do it today. Don't waste time. Don't procrastinate, because in God, you have another chance to live in the present and to live it now. The third L, look to the future. Verse 12, I press on. Verse 14, I press toward. Paul is saying that his life is one of pressing on and pressing forward, not pressing down, pressing off, or pressing out. But he said, I press on, I'm looking toward, to the future. How about you? You may say, I'm not where I want to be. Then look to the future by pressing on and pressing forward, because God is giving you another chance. You may be saying, I'm discouraged with my marriage, my work, my study. Then my answer to you, look to the future, press on and press forward, because God is giving you another chance. You may be saying, I'm at the end. Then I'm telling you, look to the future by pressing on and pressing forward, because God is giving you another chance. When you look to the future and you press on, that is when life becomes fruitful, successful, breakthrough take place, and greatness happen to your life. So Paul say, I'm looking forward, I'm pressing on, I'm pressing on, and I'm pressing forward. What it means? It means you need to live life with an attitude of what? Determination. Life is not going to be whatever it be, will be. No, life is about how you plan it with God, you work it with God, and allow God to make it happen. You need determination. You need determination because tomorrow is better than today. When life delivers hard blow, you need determination to fight back to reach your future. When life dumps troubles at your doorstep, you need determination to shove it away. When life dreams are destroyed, you need determination to reach for a new one. I need to press on. I look forward. I always remind myself, just that you have to remind yourself, you are a child of God. Say amen. not just any child of God, anointed child of God, favored child of God. I don't care if others are more favored than me, but I know I'm favored by God. Amen. Don't go and look at others and be troubled by others, because when you're looking at others, you miss every opportunity you have in God. So no, I'm anointed by God, I'm favored by God, and I'm pressing on and pressing forward because I'm looking and reaching forward to my future in God, because of God's mercy, because of the grace of God, and because of the forgiveness of God. It does not matter where I have been. You see, we allow where I have been, what I have done, to eat us, to trouble us, to pull us down. It does not matter. You may say to me, you do not know what I have done. You do not know my past. It does not matter to God, because God is redemptive, restorative, and regenerative. What matters to God today, at this moment, is not where you come from, but where are you going? It's not what you have done, but what will you be doing from today forward as you move towards your future in God? Your future is not determined by your past. Your future is not determined by what you used to be. Your future is not determined by what you used to do. But your future is determined by only one person who died on the cross, who was buried and rose again, and he said, a new day has come, another chance has come to you. This Jesus, what he does for others, he will do for you. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. There is no secret what God can do for you as what he has done for others. Why make yourself a less child than others? Have you ever got caught in that trap? I'm a lesser child. I think God loves others more than me. It is that thought that shortchanged you. You shortchange yourself. God never shortchanged you. It's time you say, God, everyone is equal in your eyes. Say amen. Yes, God, some has more gift. Some are more gifted than me. Some are more talented than me. Some have more opportunity than me. But I thank God. This is one thing you need to stand and always tell yourself. More is given, more is what? Required. So if I don't have a lot, it's okay, Lord, because I will be responsible for what I have. But that fellow, he has a lot, God. I said, look him. I look at him, he's wasting it away. He's not using it for you. It's he that needs to answer to God, not me. So why do I get trouble by him? Hello? We all get trouble by others, don't you? Stop looking at others. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. That's what we sang. Turn your eyes and keep your eyes focused on him. He's the author of your faith. How you finish depend on him, not depending on looking at other people. So, as we come to the end of 2023, see life as a journey. 2023 is just 365 days of my journey on earth that God has given me. The important thing is not where I have been, but where I'm heading. Not how I start, but how I finish. And I want to finish strong today for 2023. How about you? Shall we finish strong? Don't finish dimping. Don't finish that way. Finish strong, looking up. For your Redeemer is here. Your another chance is here. Be assured, you can never sail the ship of your life into the sea of peace and success and joy in 2024 if you are not willing to let go of your past. Live in the present and look to the future. So I encourage you, as we come to the end of this year, as the door of 2023 closes, let go of your past. Live in the present and look to your future, because the door of 2024 is opening before you. In a few hours, you're going to step into another chance in God. You step in, not with the guilt, not with the shame, not with the failure, not with all those things, because they are all behind you. And when the door closes on you, let it be what? Close. Don't open it. Let it be closed. Because as you step to 2024, right before you is a new page, a new chapter, a new volume where you can write the amazing grace of God in 2024. And we sang the song, His grace is what? Enough. His grace is enough. Let's pray. It's time this morning where we let go of the past. No matter how disappointing, how painful, it's time to let go. Because it's not going to do justice to you. It's not going to do you any good. Jesus said, give it to me. Cast all your care, your concern. Cast them to him. And let him take it. And let him bury it. Let go of your past. When do you live in the present? Every breath given to you, live in the present. Because the present is all that you have. But when you are living in the present, do not forget, the present shapes you and prepares you for the future. How many of you this morning come to the cross? The cross where Jesus died. The cross that Jesus took away all your sin, your pain, your sorrow. He has not lost his power. He is still that redemptive, still that restorative, and still that regenerative. Come to the cross and say to the Father, Father, I commit all the past. Whatever that has happened, the shame, the guilt, the pain, I commit it into your hand. How many of you will lift up your hand and say, God, I release it to you. I let go to you, God. I don't want to wake up next morning with it hanging over my head. It's time that he has to go. God, I let go to you. Lift your hand and just say, God, take it. I release it to you. And I know you will take it. There are things in life that you cannot change. It has happened. You just have to pick yourself up, let go, experience the healing power and the forgiveness on the cross. As you experience God's forgiveness, as you forgive others, and above all, you forgive yourself. you forgive yourself. God, I let you go. And now, by the power of the Holy Spirit, let Him breathe afresh over your heart with new grace, new strength, new hope, and another chance to live in the present. As you prepare to look forward to the future.